This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Amber Walsh. And Amber has had this remarkable legal career. She's a leader at the intersection of healthcare and private equity. She serves as the chairperson of the McGraw-Hill Healthcare Department. Now she serves on the executive committee of McGuire Woods, one of the 30 or 25 largest international law firms in the world. Just a remarkable legal career. She's going to talk today about 3 to 5 thoughts or so, she'll pick the number, on having a great legal career and being a great lawyer. Amber, why don't you take a moment and introduce yourself to the extent I didn't hit that right, and then tell us, what advice do you give to somebody trying to have a great legal career?
Thank you, Scott. No, that introduction was perfect. I appreciate it. And I love this topic. In many ways, the 5 things that I'm going to share are really applicable across careers, not just within the legal industry. But I love this topic for the legal industry in particular because we have such a unique degree. When you get a JD, you have so many different things that you can do with that degree, and there's so many different opportunities. And so while several of these things may sound a little bit idyllic of, you know, oh, wouldn't that be perfect if you could build your career exactly like this? In many ways, I strongly believe that's true when you have a law degree, and there's no better time to be thinking about this for young lawyers than right now. It is a great time to be a young lawyer. There have been times, you know, once a decade or so, where obviously the legal industry kind of lags behind and maybe struggles a little bit in terms of the economy and demand for lawyers, the number of lawyers graduating and in need. But now is a great time to be a young lawyer, to where you can really think about what you want and how you want to structure your legal career. You don't have to be just a victim of circumstance and haphazardly go along in your career. So I very much appreciate that, and I'm happy to share my five pieces of advice.
Please, I'd love to hear the 5 pieces of advice. No one said it better than you have. Tell us the 5 pieces of advice.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing that I will say is something that I see not just young attorneys, but frankly attorneys of all vintage, not really taking advantage of, and that is building relationships with other lawyers that are very strong in a very strong network outside of your own firm or company. If you're an in-house lawyer or an outside lawyer, very, very valuable relationships. And it's particularly easy for someone like me that works within an industry in the healthcare industry. But I know from other lawyers who are not necessarily industry specific, you can have a really, really valuable network of lawyers outside of your firm. The legal community is shockingly small. You will see people who have moved around firms. They go in-house to a client, and all of a sudden that lawyer moves from being an outside lawyer to a client who can buy business. But sometimes lawyers in other firms are simply good sounding boards. You can be co-counsel in cases. And the mistake that I see a lot of people making is assuming that the lawyer on the other side of the table is always adverse to you and always will be adverse to you. And that's simply not true. If you can build mutual respect, a relationship with the lawyers on the other side, can really get a lot out of that network. And ultimately, you will be a better lawyer if you're willing to learn from those people. And you can give your clients a lot of advantage in the market if you have those relationships. So that's kind of an obscure one, but I'm starting with that one because it's something that a lot of lawyers just kind of miss out on that opportunity.
100%. So building a network and this concept of building it internally and externally, I think it's such a good suggestion. And this concept of it's like in business, sometimes you're the lead person, sometimes you're the assist person, sometimes the opposite person across the table is an adversary, sometimes they'll be an ally. Many different roles that person might play in your career. And it's not that you don't represent your client zealously against that person, but you also build relationships because that they can come and help for your clients, and that's going to be helpful for life. And it's so such great advice. So thank you. Let me let you flip to number two.
Yeah, the second one is also a little bit of an obscure concept too, and that is to find a balance in your career. And you are not going to be able to do this right out of the gate from law school, but as you develop over time, to find a balance where you have some core legal principles in your discipline. Once you get really, really secure in what you do. So for me, it's healthcare regulation and healthcare deal work. But for litigators, it'll be some core strategy principles, things you will never, ever vary from in how you lead a case, lead a deal, lead a client project. So you'll have some core principles that you don't vary from versus when you know that the market is moving around you and you need to be more flexible. This is a really tough concept to balance, but I think that this is what can distinguish a good lawyer from a great lawyer is those who are very firm in the principles. And it's not just integrity. I'm not talking about the character of integrity of I'm never going to personally behave in this way. It's more that I know foundationally that from a strategy standpoint, we will always do this. Or in my world in healthcare, we always ultimately come back to what do the referral relationships look like? You get back to core principles, and then you look around and say, okay, the market has moved, regulation has moved, the parties here are a little bit different, so this is where we need to be flexible. So that's something that I think I try very hard to work with young attorneys on and also constantly question myself, am I properly balancing that flexibility with the core principles?
But this concept of categorizing principles and having core principles, and your point is well taken. This was not particularly a discussion about ethics, and that's a part of it as well. But this concept of core principles, like we know we don't represent this kind of party. And if you don't have those kinds of principles, life is too complex, isn't it? I mean, you sort of have to know what the principles are, how you think of the things, and then you could figure out how to add or adjust based on how you think of something. But if you don't start with some sense of core principles, it's almost impossible to operate effectively and efficiently, isn't it?
It is. And sometimes you'll find yourself in a bit of a quandary for a client where a deal, a project, a case has moved along over the course of several weeks or months. And all of a sudden you look back and you think, how did we get to this place? And I'm not feeling comfortable with either the position the client wants to take or how we're leading the client, and you have to have some core principles to go back to of, okay, we never want to see a hospital client, for example, doing ABC or accepting XYZ from a group of physicians, for example. And not to get too specific, but it's to ground you again and have something to go back to so that you can make sure that you never really get too far away from where you've been trained and where you have decided that your practice is going to be grounded.
No, I think it's so important. And I think that when you see people that don't have a starting point, a principle, a core of how they think about things, it's not to negate being open-minded and being able to learn from there. But if you don't start from a place, it's very hard to be ruddered and think clearly and be centered. So I can't agree with you more. I love those two tips. They're so not the typical tips you get from somebody starting a legal career, but develop your core set of principles, develop your knowledge base, keep on trying to adjust and develop those, build a broad network, not just people internally, but externally too. I love those two principles. Amber, let me let you go to number three.
So the last few, I promise you, are a little bit less obscure, but I think they're equally as important. So the next one would certainly be to remain intellectually curious about whatever area of law you're doing. If you are not interested in the business of your client and the business of your particular employer, be it a law firm, be it within a large corporation, if you're in-house counsel for Apple, if you're not intellectually curious about both the client business and also how the lawyers fit in from a business perspective, then you're probably in the wrong area of law, in my view. You're going to get bored. You're not going to be able to give your client the best service, and you're selling yourself short. And this kind of goes back to my introductory comments of, we have a degree that is broad enough that we have opportunities, particularly now when there's such a call for lawyers and such a need for lawyers at all levels and cross sections of all industries, that you have the luxury to make sure that you remain intellectually curious. I just think that that's a simple one, but I think it's so important.
But this is, so many young people would say, or young professionals would say, I'm not really interested in this area. I'm not really that interested in it. I'm really interested. And so what I'd say to them is, it's easy in small steps to cultivate that interest too. Like, you don't have to immediately look at this and say, well, I'm not interested in how the law firm economics work. I'm not interested in how healthcare economics work or healthcare business works. Rather than shying away from it, leaning in a little bit can cultivate that interest too. But I think staying interested in what you're doing, not just the nuts and bolts of legal, which you have to be great in, but the context and the business is so, so important. It makes you so much more effective as a lawyer, but you could cultivate this too. You can cultivate this interest. It's not binary. It's not yes or no. You can cultivate it. But thank you. I love that point, though. Amber, let me move you to number four.
I think that's a great nuance, Scott. That's really important on all of these, that you have the time for all of these suggestions and the time in your career to cultivate all of these skills and to use that to determine if you're really in the right spot. And that actually kind of goes to the fourth point, which is, I strongly, strongly think that young lawyers should really stretch and extend themselves and try new things. And this comes from someone who has spent the vast majority of my career pretty specialized in healthcare regulatory and transactions, and in particular niches within healthcare that I work in. But you have to try a lot of things and flex and not pigeonhole yourself too early, and give yourself the opportunity to try and see all of the different opportunities that are before you as a lawyer, which is not to say that it should be done in an erratic fashion, but within your first job, any opportunity that you are given to try a new project, to work with a new team, so that you can assess if this is something that you really have the capacity for, the intellectual curiosity about, all of those things, and then to narrow yourself over time into specialization, but never to the point that you are so narrowly focused that even as a 30-year lawyer, you won't try something new that is, naturally related to your core skill set. So that would be my fourth piece of advice.
So, and I love that as well. And it's so, you the things you talk about are so near and dear to my heart, that it's hard for me not to comment on them as well. They're so true. Like, you become good at the core thing you do, and you've got to do great at your core job. You have to keep on keeping an open mind to trying different things, exploring different things, doing other things. And aside from making you a better professional, it is a huge antidote to long-term burnout as well. And to be confident to try these other things, it's okay. You don't have to be brilliant at everything, but to try and explore is so important. It's so important to be great at what you do. And it's so important as an antidote to burnout. And also, as a lawyer, by understanding what other people do in law, what other parts of it are, even if you're not doing them yourself, it makes you a better manager, leader, a client person, because you understand the framework, the terrain much better. So I love that piece of advice too. So we've got broad network, clarity of principles, stay interested, cultivate interest, and do great at your job, but keep open-minded to doing and trying different things. So we've got four so far. Amber, you owe us a fifth. Tell us the fifth.
Okay, here's the fifth one, and there's so many other pieces of advice about taking care of yourself and all these other things that I love hearing your other guests talk about. But the last piece of advice that I would have in some ways seems so utterly simplistic, but it is probably the very most important, is to make sure that you're in a situation where you like and you trust both your colleagues and your clients. because these are the people you are working with and working for. And at the beginning, I said, you know, this may seem like some sort of, you know, idyllic vision of the perfect utopia of a career, but we all deserve this. And there are so many places that lawyers can be happy and thrive, and so many places where you can find this. It's not just about liking your colleagues. You have to trust your colleagues too and rely on them. And the same goes for clients as well. It is a mutual choice between lawyers and clients to work together. And there's a mutual respect that's demanded. And I've been so blessed to have that like and trust of both colleagues and clients. But there are certainly times that lawyers have to deal with clients who, for a variety of reasons, it is not a healthy relationship, and you have to have the wherewithal to be able to deal with that. Much harder, of course, as a young lawyer. But if you're in a firm or a company where you like and trust your senior lawyers, they will make sure that those clients are well behaved and that you have a healthy relationship with them. And then you as a young lawyer can learn from that, see how those relationships can be so, so, so healthy, valuable, productive, and long-term. And then you yourself as a young lawyer can move into that leadership position where you're also going to make sure that those relationships with clients, the clients that you choose to work with, that you are side by side, that really impact your daily life, are equally as appropriate as when you were a young attorney and it was somewhat being chosen for you by the more senior attorneys. So that's really my last piece of advice. Pretty simple, but it kind of wraps it all up in my mind, because we are here and we exist for our clients, and they are such the pivotal point in our careers, and they are the make or break for how you view your own career, is the clients that you choose to and are able to work with.
I think this concept of liking and trusting your clients, one, to have a satisfying career, so the people you work with, not that they'd be best friends, but like and trust is so important. Bad clients get lawyers in trouble, and it can be hard to stand up to bad clients. And most firms work hard to ultimately filter out bad clients. Working with bad clients you don't trust are the ones that get you in trouble, the ones that say, like, I thought you told me this, when you know you never told that client that they're trying to throw you under the bus or use you as a backstop for bad behavior, or just horrible clients that can't be trusted, and you have to filter them out as a law firm. You can't work with people like that or clients like that. And there could be bad people within great clients too, and it takes a while to figure that out. And then people internally, the same thing. If somebody's going to the type that is not going to help and explain, but throw you under the bus, or put you in front of bad client situations, or not help you to thrive too, it's all about them and not you thriving as well. There should be this great Venn diagram with relationships at work where, yes, the junior person might be helping the senior person, but there ought to be a very serious overlap where both are helping each other as well. And it's part of this like and trust type thing. There are going to be overlaps in all these relationships where they work for both people. And I think this concept of liking and trusting, I can't agree with that more. Again, Amber Walsh, executive committee at McGuire Woods, great, great lawyer. I can't thank you enough for your thoughts today. I know we're on the Business of Private Equity podcast. Some of these concepts relate to everything in life, not just practicing law. And I love these five thoughts. Thank you so much. And Amber, we'll get this out probably today or tomorrow. Thank you for joining us on the Becker Private Equity Business Podcast. Always a pleasure to visit with you.
Thank you, Scott.